Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, April 24th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my good friend here, Cole Shelton, to talk about all the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. And actually, there was quite a bit of news this week, which is kind of surprising considering there are no fights really taking place right now, but there actually was quite a bit of news. Before we get into that, I just want to know how you're doing, Cole, get an update on you, because I don't think we've had you on for like 2 weeks or something. So just how's everything going, man?
Yeah, it's going well. Just not leaving the house much. Just kind of staying inside. Just playing video games, playing board games, cards with my family. Just
What video game?
I just play like the UFC game, baseball, just like the sports games. But
yeah, that's cool.
I gotta get a new one.
What'd you say?
I gotta get a new one. The last like real video game I played was Red Dead 2, which was really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, one of the best games for sure. Yeah, what do you have, PlayStation then, I guess? Or
Xbox.
You have Xbox? Okay. I don't know too much about Xbox. I'm a Switch guy right now. PlayStation, but I've been playing so much Switch. Like, it's definitely helping pass the time, I'll just say that. So I got a bunch of, like, indie games that I'm playing. I love, like, the old school kind of games. I love those ones, and even the new games are sweet, too. So that's been keeping me busy, but I mean, I'm not going to lie, Cole. I want to get back to normal, man. I love playing video games, don't get me wrong, but, like, I miss the whole routine that both of us had with, you know, Saturday night's MMA and then during the week fight news and breaking down the fights, man. I miss breaking down the fights with you, Cole. That's the one thing I really miss, dude. It's always a lot of fun. Anyways, let's get right into it. So I'm going to start with UFC 249. So this week it was revealed that the card that's scheduled to take place May 9th is not UFC 250. It's going to be UFC 249. And now we're hearing it's going to take place in Jacksonville, Florida, Cole. So there's been rumors for a while now, like probably a month, that Florida could be the host of this show. They actually held a MMA event. I think we talked about this a little while ago. They held an MMA event last month there with Nick Roerich, who used to fight in the UFC. He fought in the main event of that card, Combat Night, I believe it was called. And now they just opened like their beaches up to the public at certain points of the day. So it seems like Florida is kind of relaxing the rules. And of course, the WWE is considered an essential business there. So I think once a lot of people heard that that was the case, that it seemed like a logical fit for Dana White to argue that he could be an essential service there as well. So it looks like it's going to take place in Jacksonville. Just thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised it's in Florida. I think a lot of people figured it would be in Florida, especially if WWE was deemed essential. And
yeah,
Florida was kind of already linked before the Tachi Palace for the April 18th event. A lot of people thought it was Florida. Florida's governor is loosening up a lot of the restrictions. They're starting to open everything up. So, and then I see people saying, oh, well, Disney's just going to shut down again. The reason why it got shut down in the first place was because the California governor called Disney and said, you got to tell Dana there's no event happening here. The Florida governor's not going to do that. So chances are, I'm still skeptical this event's going to happen, but it's a better shot than the April 18th happening.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It seems like a pretty good shot, but I'm still skeptical, man. I'm not going to lie. I want to see this card. Don't get me wrong. I want to watch this event just as much as anyone, man. I really do. But I don't know. It just seems kind of nuts. Like, it feels like the world's making a lot of progress right now, Cole. And to, like, loosen the restrictions up right now seems kind of like a bad idea. Like, I feel like it should be a few more months just to make sure everything's going to be okay. Like, I'm worried that, things do look a little bit more optimistic right now. But just say there's a second wave of this thing, like, soon, you know, and it could destroy everything again. So, and all the progress you make could be set back. So it's kind of scary. But as a UFC fan, as an MMA fan, I want to see this card really bad, Cole. I need some UFC in my life. I just still question if it's the right idea. One fighter that definitely won't be on the card is Amanda Nunes. She was scheduled to fight Felicia Spencer in the third fight in the top, because there's three title fights, or there was. And she pulled out of the fight. Basically, she just doesn't feel like she'll be well prepared enough for the fight because she's not training properly. That's the other thing, Cole. People really got to realize these guys are not in proper training camps right now. Like, all of them are training at home and stuff. I don't know what to say about that. Like, I feel like the quality of fights is not going to be as great. Like, I still expect a fight like Ferguson versus Gaethje to be a good fight. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's a great fight. But at the same time, like, will we get like these guys at 100% like they would in a normal fight camp? I don't know about that. Anyways, Amanda Nunes pulled out. She didn't feel comfortable fighting. And you know what? I can't blame her. And I know you spoke to Felicia Spencer, her opponent. So I want to get your thoughts on your interview with Felicia.
Yeah, so I was texting Felicia. Felicia's quick to respond to me. And basically, today, we're doing an interview for this fight. I didn't get a response. And like 2 days later, I'm like, just a text her in like any update, and she just said, stay patient, talk to you after the weekend. So I kind of thought something was up, and then Monday morning she texted me, and basically that was afternoon as pulled out, and she said, I'm free at 10 a.m. We could talk about all this. And she found out Friday, she said she got a text from the UFC that said her fight was off. And she heard rumblings for quite a while that Nunes wasn't thinking about fighting. So what she was mad at, or not really mad, but just disappointed, is she wishes Amanda said something sooner. Yeah. So she didn't have to continue training and didn't have to continue to have her coaches isolate with her and be away from their families and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a difficult time. And I get why Nunes pulled out, because as a champion, you have a lot more to lose than the challenger. Like, if Felicia Spencer goes in there and loses, a lot of people expect her to lose. If Nunes goes out there and loses, that's a big loss for her, to lose her belt, to kind of lose to someone a lot of people expect her to beat. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of these high-level fighters pull out of these and just say, I'm not fighting until I can get a proper training camp. I don't think you'll see any lower-named people or title challengers pull out, because it's their big opportunity. But a lot of these champions and high-level fighters, I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of them pull out. And if the UFC continues to put on events.
Yeah, that's a good point, Cole. Like, a lot of the champions, not a lot of them, but I would say the majority of them are a little bit more, like, set financially, so they can afford to kind of not take a fight right now. Like, Amanda Nunes has been a champion for a while now. I'm sure she makes quite a bit of money, and she's got a lot saved up, so she's okay. But Felicia Spencer, she needs the money, probably, Cole, and I can't blame her. So, yeah, it sucks. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I feel so bad for these fighters. They've really been getting jerked around by, like, the UFC and Dana White's hollow promises and just all these commissions kind of, like, you know, saying we'll do the fight and then not, you know, not being able to do it afterwards. Like, it's just, it sucks, you know, straight up. Like, imagine, you know, you couldn't be with your family right now. Like, that would suck, right? And that's basically the situation Spencer and her coaches are in. They can't really do much, and now they're not going to fight in that card. They're saying June now. I saw that Spencer wants to fight in June. That seems optimistic too, Cole. I'm not going to lie, man. Like, I don't know when this is going to happen. There was a report that Dana White and UFC matchmakers are not going to punish anyone who's, like, not accepting fights right now, which makes sense, I think. I mean, that's a good thing. But you got to feel bad for the other fighter on the other side, like Spencer, who was training for this fight, and it's not going to happen now. So I definitely feel bad for her. Another guy that, I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me, just Justin Gaethje, and I know you did the article on this. He wasn't even told that he's fighting on May 9th, Cole. He saw this when the UFC announced the card. That's messed up, man.
Yeah, I think just the UFC kind of said, oh, you're agreeing on April 18th, you're going to agree on May 9th. But for Gaethje, he's a guy that doesn't take short notice fights. April 18th was kind of just, let me help the UFC. When they canceled the event, I bet you Gaethje probably thought, they're going to redo Ferguson and Habib. I tried my luck. I'm not going to get it. Then all of a sudden, the UFC announces this May 9th event, and Gaethje Ferguson are headlining it. He doesn't even have a contract offer, or the UFC's even asked him if he wants to fight May. What happens if he says no? And then a whole UFC's plan goes down the window. Then, like, they kind of set him up where he can't say no, because if he says no, then Dana White's going to do a bunch of interviews. Oh, Gaethje didn't want the fight. Gaethje's, and then all the fans can be like, oh, Gaethje's scared of Ferguson, all that stupid stuff. But
I know. It's so dumb.
It makes no sense how you don't even ask the main event if you're going to fight that day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like you said, Justin doesn't take short notice fights. He's doing it because he wants to be a world champion. So you can't blame him for that. But I mean, that would suck again. Like, why aren't they telling them that, hey, this is the date? Like, these kind of negotiations should be happening in the back channels before it's made public, Cole. But this is not the first time the UFC's done this, Cole. This happens all the time. And it's something that really bothers me personally. Like, because I'm a guy who's and I know you're the same way, Cole, fighters first, always. Because without the fighters, there's no sport. It does bother me when they announce fights without the fighters knowing. Like, it's something that to me is just like very unethical, you know. So I feel bad for Justin, but hey, he's gonna get a chance to fight for the title, I think. Don't be surprised this card next week and there's an announcement that the fight's not happening, Cole. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And again, they're going to be like, all right, we'll do for June 9th or something. And then he's going to have to train again. Like, these guys are peaking and then they're not peaking. Like, or for like Ferguson's case, Cole, he was peaking for that card and he stayed on routine and cut the weight. And now he's going to have to cut the weight again. I mean, that was his choice. But at the same time, Cole, I don't blame him for doing that because he was keeping on his routine for fight week. So it kind of made sense in his mind. But here's the other side of holding these events, and I got to talk about this with you. Lyman Good this week announced that he was positive for coronavirus. He has recovered since, but he was supposed to fight at UFC 249, Cole, against Bilal Muhammad, and he pulled out with an injury, or at least he didn't get this, an injury, which we later found out was actually a coronavirus. He didn't even tell the UFC. He just went to the doctor, and him and his girlfriend isolated, and they are better now. But, I mean, this is the risk, because just say he did fight in that card, and he had no idea he had coronavirus. I know they said they were going to test them, but there's been a lot of negative tests that later were actually positive tests. Just say he fought in that card and infected someone else, cool, then what?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, even Alexander Hernandez said, oh, I think he might have had it. Like, there's a lot of people out there that are asymptomatic, or they have it, but they're not showing any symptoms. So they just go about their day, and then they infect a bunch of people. Like, what happens if someone had it on the card? Or what happens if, like, a ref had it and he didn't know, and he's touching all the fighters before, and he's reffing multiple events, like, and he's touching fighters, he's shaking hands, like, the corners or whatever. Like, there's a lot of problems. And even the tests, like, even if you test everyone, like you said, there's been tons of tests where it says negative. They retest because they're still feeling sick, and then it tests positive. So it's still so new where a lot of these tests aren't 100% accurate, where the UFC could test everyone, but you still don't know for sure if everyone has it or not. So it's definitely, like, a weird time.
I just feel like like the whole thing hasn't really hit Dana White close. Like, I haven't really talked about this at all. Actually, I didn't want to talk about it, but a family member of mine actually has coronavirus right now, and they're in the hospital battling this. So, I mean, it's scary. Once it hits cold, once someone in your family gets it, dude, then you're like, whoa, like, this is super real. It scares the hell out of you, man. I mean, I hope he's okay. Like, I haven't seen him in a while. So, I mean, I haven't had any contact, so I'm fine, but it's scary because it's a family member, right? And it's definitely frightening because, like, someone in my family dies from this thing, I'm going to feel horrible, you know? I already do feel bad. Like, it's just a scary time. So I feel like Dana White doesn't believe that this is, like, I don't think he realizes how contagious this is and how risky it is to hold fights. That's just my opinion, you know? I know he says we'll have the best testing and all this stuff, but again, Cole, I don't know about this. Like, all the travel that's involved with the fights too, like, it seems crazy. Like, there's no way in hell I'd be on an airplane right now. That seems so nuts to me. Like, it's crazy. Again, I want to see these fights, guys, just as much as anyone, you know? And I support the idea of fighters making a living. I get that. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like something it's essential right now, you know? Anyways, just talking about a few other things here connected to coronavirus. The UFC London fighters, that card was obviously canceled, Cole. Now we're hearing reports that they were paid $20,000, up to $20,000. Any reaction to that, that pay that they got?
Yeah, so it's definitely not people's show money, which is what a lot of people thought is, oh, they'll just get their show money. I can guarantee Leon Edwards is tired, they're making more than $20,000. Most people on that card are making more than
$20,000.
Yeah. So it's kind of the UFC's way to say, oh, we paid the fighters, but they never said how much they're paying or if they're paying their show. And it's up to $20,000. So I bet you the early prelims guys probably only got like $5,000-$6,000.
I know. And it pisses me off because there were so many reports that week saying, like, oh, the fighters are getting paid and they're good. Like, the fighters got their show money. That's not the case at all. It doesn't look like anyways. Like, I'm pretty sure Woodley makes $100,000 a show or $200,000 a show, Cole, or Edwards. I'm not saying, I mean, they didn't fight, so I can understand why they didn't get that much. But again, if you're a guy like Leon Edwards and, you know, you're paying for your training camp, your training camp costs probably more than $20,000, you know? So, like, these guys aren't even making money. This is just keeping them afloat for a little while. I will say that at least they got something. Like, you got to give them credit for at least giving them something. But at the same time, it's really not as much as I think some people thought. Just going into some other UFC things, then I want to talk about some other promotions, but just getting back to UFC here, Aljamain Sterling, he had some comments about Dominic Cruz getting a title shot against Henry Cejudo. I don't know if we've really talked about this too much, Cole, but I really don't like this. I get it because he is a legend and everything, and Cejudo wants, like, he's on his Legends tour right now. This is BS, man. Come on. Like, Sterling, Corey Sanhagen, Peter Yan, I know Yan can't fight right now in the States, so we'll just ignore him, but Sterling and Sanhagen, Cole, deserve the title shot far more than Dominic Cruz, Jose Aldo, or Frankie Edgar. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and then what's even more frustrating is you have Ali out there saying, oh, Cejudo wants Aldo after Cruz.
I know, I saw that. Ugh.
So then it's like, at what point does the UFC say, like, you actually got to fight guys that are actually legit contenders? Cruz, the last time he fought, he got absolutely dominated by Cody Garbrandt. Like, Cody Garbrandt made him look like not the elite fighter he was. Like, he got dropped several times. Garbrandt was dancing on him. Like, that's how bad it was. And that was when, and then we obviously seen what happened to Garbrandt. Aldo's 0-1 the weight class. it was a close fight, but he still lost. And like, there's, I get if you're going to do this, if there's no one else to fight, like if the division's stale or if there's no real top contenders, but there's three guys that if you booked any of them three against Cejudo, no one would be like, no one would say, oh, you they should have got title shot. Like Sanhagen, Sterling, Yan all deserve it. I'd even put Moraes, a rematch with Marlon Moraes, ahead of Cejudo, or ahead of Cruz and Aldo.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, Moraes, you know what? He had his chance, so I get why he's not kind of in the mix right now. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. Cool. Like, honestly, like, a lot of people seem to be excited for this fight. I'm really not that excited for Dominic Cruz versus Henry Cejudo. I don't see it being a competitive fight at this point of Dom's career. Like, he hasn't fought since December 2016, Cole. The same night Ronda Rousey got knocked out. This is literally the same thing as if Ronda Rousey came back and fought Nunes in a rematch for the title. Like, this is the same situation. What would people think about that? Like, to me, it's dumb. I get it, though. I mean, it's short notice, and there is not a lot of options. I don't think even Sterling can fight in 2 weeks. Like, I think he might still be recovering. But I'm pretty sure Corey Sandhagen would have taken that fight, Cole. And I, you know, as a hardcore fan, we would have rather seen that fight. I just don't even think Dominic Cruz is a big name. Like, I don't think it really sells that many more pay-per-views. Like, I know he has a more of a name, but I don't think he's ever been a guy that people are like, whoa, I can't wait to spend $60 to watch Dominic Cruz fight. So to me, it's not really even adding too much to the pay-per-view. You know, if anything, Cejudo's the draw now. But yeah, I mean, I don't love it, but you know, it is what it is. I just saw this story, Cole, about Robert Whittaker. So a few months ago, there was this complete BS story. I don't even want to name the website because I don't feel like we should give them any credit here. And the guy was, he posted a story, which was complete fabrication, obviously, Cole, about Robert Whittaker donating bone marrow to his daughter. And people were just like, whoa, Whittaker's such a great guy and all this stuff. But, you know, I'm sure he's a great guy. I know you've talked to him, Cole. Like, and by all accounts, he really is an awesome person. But that is not what happened. Reading the story, he was burned out. And I totally understand what that means. Like, a few years ago, I had two basically full-time jobs. When I was doing the MMA thing and I also had another job, I was burned out. I had to leave them because I was working 7 days a week, and I did it for like a year. And I was like, I had no free time. And I was so tired. So I understand what burnout's like, not to the extent that MMA fighter would, obviously. But the fact that there was a story about him donating bone marrow and it turned out to be something completely different, Cole, that just – It makes all of us journalists and MMA look really bad, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's like, it was just a website that at that point I never even heard of. Same. So I think they were just trying to get some clicks or get some, like, get their say notice. But at what point, like, you have to know if that's true or not. That's something that's like someone's personal life that's actually like serious. That's like a legitimate, real issue. So if that's fake, like, it's just so bad. And then it just makes me mad that people would do that.
Yeah, it's fake news. Like you said, it's designed to get clicks. And I remember when that tweet came out, like, I remember looking at it later and the guy had like 10,000 likes on the tweet. So people were like reading the article, which is good for that guy because never heard of that site. But that is ridiculous. You know, that's like me or you just making something up and throwing in a BJ Penn just to get clicks or odds breaker. You know what I mean, Cole? Like, hey, we'll just... Well, let's make up some news today. Like, I don't know who told this guy that, but it's not even close to the truth. So to me, kind of bothered me, especially reading Robert's story today. But, you know, hopefully he feels better. And he's supposed to fight Darren Till in August, Cole. Like, again, that card is up in the air. That's a card that could happen because August is still a few months away. So I think there's a chance that could happen, but there's no sure thing. A couple other UFC things quickly. Volkan Oezdemir, he says that UFC wants him to fight Jiří Prochazka. And again, that fight's not official, but he says that basically they're just looking for a date right now. And it makes sense. That's the perfect fight, Cole, for Fight Island because they're two international guys. I love this matchup, Cole. What do you think about it?
I really like this matchup. It's Volkan Oezdemir, this guy that I thought he beat Dominic Reyes. That was a really close fight.
That was close, yep.
And he's a guy that a lot of people wrote off after he lost to Cormier. And then who did he lose to after Cormier?
I can't remember enough.
He lost to two top guys, and then he's got the people right off. And then he picked up two really good wins over Leo Latifi and then Alexander Rakic. Rakic is a guy coming up. Everyone thought he is going to be a future title challenger soon. He's still a guy that's in the mix at light heavyweight. If he beats Jiří Prochazka, that's a huge win. And then I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a top three guy and he could be fighting for the title again soon. Volkan's a guy that has a ton of knock power. All it takes is one punch. And he's shown a lot of improvements. His takedown defense is a lot better than it was, especially when you saw that Cormier fight. He didn't really stop any takedowns now, even against Rakic, he was stuffing them. this is a perfect fight, even because then it really tells you how good your Pacheco is. If Pacheco gets past Ozdemir, he's on a fast track to a title shot. If Ozdemir wins, he's on a fast track to a title shot. Like, it's the perfect matching and a really solid fight that I wouldn't even know who I'd favor right now.
Yeah, it's a close fight. And the guy that we're forgetting about is Anthony Smith. He did lose to him in Canada, in Moncton. Volkan is a really good fighter, man. He's 5-3 in the UFC, but the losses, like you said, to three of the best guys, DC Smith and Reyes, and then he's beaten OSP, Sirkunov, Manuel, Latifi, and Rakic. The Rakic fight, it's funny because I actually thought he lost the Rakic fight, but a lot of people thought he beat Reyes, right? So it's one of those things. Cool, that's how MMA works, you know, split decision here or there against you or whatever. But the good thing is light heavyweight's still kind of shallow, so he's right there, man. Jones versus Ozdemir is actually kind of an interesting fight because Ozdemir's got that knockout power and his stand-up's really good. His ground game is not very good, though, Cole. If Jones fights smart and takes him to the ground, the fight's going to be over quickly. But stay standing, Cole. He can knock anyone out. He's got a lot of KO power. They call him no time for a reason because his fights are very quick. But Yuri Prochazka, man, I am really intrigued by this guy, Cole. I'm not going to lie. Like, I remember watching him a few years ago, and he fought King Mo in the Ryzen Finals. He actually lost. And I was like, I don't know too much about this guy. Like, he didn't seem too good. He's improved a lot. And he actually beat King Mo in a rematch. And now he's on a nice win streak, Cole. He's knocking everyone out in Ryzen. He's a champ there. This is a guy, Cole, that could potentially be a future champ in this division.
He was a guy that I was surprised. I was kind of surprised when he signed the UFC. I thought he'd stay in Ryzen, battle Bator, do a fight in Ryzen, do a fight in Bellator. But he's a really good sign for the UFC light heavy division that all of a sudden has a lot. It was so stale, and everyone thought, Jones should move up. There's a lot of new contenders for Jones to fight, and a lot of guys coming up in the light heavy division. It's kind of making it exciting again.
Yeah. And he's only 27. He's actually pretty young, Cole. And he's a big dude, man. He's 6'4". He's a big dude. His win streak's actually not bad. Like, look at some of the names he has. I mean, listen, he's not fighting UFC caliber guys, but they're just a step below, like CB Dolloway, Maldonado, King Mo, Brandon Halsey. But he also has some other wins from earlier in his career, like Vadim Nemkov he beat, Cole. And that guy's actually pretty good, right? So this guy's solid, man. I'm really hoping the UFC can get that fight together because that's a really good fight if it happens. Just the last thing here for the UFC, we'll move on to some other promotions. Matt Brown, he really wants this Carlos Condit fight, Cole. I know that you recently talked to Mike Winklejohn, who's Condit's longtime coach. This fight makes a lot of sense. It's always made a lot of sense. I'd love to see the fight. I mean, I know that Brown's coming off 2 wins, Condit's 5 losses, but Brown wants the fight. Condit, I assume, wants the fight. I love this fight, Cole.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what Winklejohn said. Is he said he only wants Condit to fight these big guys. Condit's not interested in fighting these guys coming off the Contender Series, looking to build a name off Condon, because he doesn't need to fight. So it's kind of for him, it's like big name matchups. It's like a Lawler fight again. It's a Matt Brown. It's these big names that are just going to be fun fights for Condon. And I think I'd love to see that Condon Brown fight. I think that fight should happen for years, and it's definitely an interesting fight. Like you said, win-loss wise, it doesn't make sense. But if Brown wants it and he's the guy on the winning streak, like, it makes a lot more sense than who Brown is supposed to fight at that Columbus card.
Yep, no, I agree with that. Let's get into some other promotions here. PFL, so they announced this week they're postponing the entire season until 2021. I think this is a really good move by PFL just to get ahead of these things and just say, you know what, we're not going to take the risk. Because just say they started their season, Cole, and then second wave happens and everything gets shut down again, then it's like, what was the point of that? So I actually think it's a good move. Now, I will say this, obviously, it's not great for the fighters, but they are offering a monthly stipend, which is something. I heard it's only $1,000 a month, so that's not a lot of money, but it is something to keep guys afloat right now. And then the other thing is they cut a third of the roster, apparently. So they're basically keeping around their top guys. They signed a lot of fighters for this year, so a lot of these guys that are cut probably we don't even know too much about. The big names like Rory McDonald and Ray Cooper, those guys are obviously staying on the roster. It makes sense. Just thoughts on them postponing the season and the $1,000 monthly stipend that they're going to pay these guys.
Yeah, this is what I saw. They postponed it. I was a bit surprised. I'm like, it's really soon. Like, you might. I was surprised they did right away because I'm like, maybe you just do less regular season matchups, or you just do more people make the playoffs and whatnot. But after I was thinking about it, PFL is a gate-driven promotion. Their TV ratings aren't that good. They make a lot of their money through the gate. They obviously have the ESPN deal, which is good, but good thing about ESPN is, because this is the last year on with their ESPN deals, they were trying to make a splash, but ESPN, good for them. They're saying, yeah, we'll keep you around 2021. We'll honor our contract, or whatever. So it's good that they'll be back. It definitely sucks for the fighters like Rory McDonald, Olivier, Aubin Mercier, guys that just signed there that were looking to make that million, or because now they're kind of just under contract. They can't get any other fights.
Yeah.
And but good for PFL that they are paying them $1,000. I know it's not a lot, but it's better than just them sitting on the shelves and making no money.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, like, they can collect some sort of something in the States if they're in the States. And I think like a guy like OAM who lives in Canada, I'm pretty sure he gets CERB. Like, I'm pretty sure he should get $1,000, right? Because he's out of work due to COVID. If he's not applying for it, he's making a mistake. I mean, I really hope these Canadian guys, their managers are telling them, apply for the CERB, because they had a job and now they're not working, right? So that makes sense to me, Cole. But again, you know, that's obviously neither here nor there. I mean, listen, it's not PFL's fault this happened. It's not anyone's fault this happened. A guy like OAM, he signs with PFL thinking, hey, I can, you know, make $1 million, and it's better for me to take this risk than to fight in the UFC for 20 and 20. Obviously, turns out that maybe that's not the right decision this year, but I think still in the long haul, it's probably the right call. So it does suck that they can't fight. But again, I do agree with PFL just getting ahead of things and saying, you know what, we're not going to do this year. We're going to move it next year. It makes sense, Cole. And actually, I feel like other sports leagues maybe could follow suit, but I don't know. A lot of these sports leagues are kind of in denial. They're waiting for this thing to pass and start back up. Like I'm hearing, you know, maybe NHL will start back up in July. It's just it's kind of nuts. Like they're going to put everything – fit everything in like a 3-month period and then what, have like a 2-week break off season and then start things back up. Like it's nuts. It is what it is. Patricio Pitbull, Bellator guy, he really criticized the UFC this week. Basically said that they're putting the fighters at risk by having these events. Any thoughts on Patricio's comments?
Yeah, it's not surprising. He's been a guy that's been loyal to Bellator. He's a guy that I don't think if he's ever free agent, I don't think UFC is kind of an option for him. I think he's gonna be a guy that stays in Bellator his whole career, but you've seen a lot of these Bellator fighters kind of trash the UFC for what they're doing, saying, oh, Bellator paid us, oh, Bellator's taking care of us, the UFC's making you fight and all that. So it's definitely interesting, but I mean, he's kind of one of those faces of Bellator, so I think he kind of has to stick up for the promotion, but I'm not surprised to see the comments come out at all.
Yeah, I'm not either. Demetrius Johnson, he did an interview with Tom, and said he has 4 or 5 more years left, Cole. He's already thinking about retiring. He just basically said, like, you have to in this sport. So right now he's with one, and he's supposed to fight for their title, actually, next month. I don't think that fight's going to happen. And we'll talk – actually, let's talk about one in a second here. I want to talk about what Chatry said. But before that, I want to just talk about Demetrius quickly. Do you think he stays with one for the rest of his career? Do you think he makes a move back to the UFC at some point and says, you know what, I want to have some unfinished business here and try to fight Cejudo a third time? What do you think?
I think he probably just finished his career in one. I think that's kind of the perk promotion for him. He's got a dozen trash talk. All of the respect and stuff. He didn't sell in the UFC. He sells in Asia. His fighting style, it's exactly what the Asian MMA market likes. He's a respectful guy. It's what One Change is all about. I think he just finishes his career there.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think there's a chance he could come back to the UFC, though, or even Bellator at some point. Like, I still think Bellator would be a decent spot for him because they could pay him a lot. And basically, they could build a division around him, but he seems happy in one right now. And Matt Hume is his former trainer, I believe, and Matt's a big part of one. So I just wanted to hear quick thoughts on that story that came out this week, or I guess it was kind of a story. I mean, Chatry Sidyatong, who is the chairman, CEO of One Championship, basically made some comments that they were kind of taking credit for the one benefit concert or whatever. I'll be honest, I don't know a ton about this, Cole, but I know that you had some thoughts about this in the group chat. So just give me your thoughts on this one, man.
Yeah, the concert was named One. It was like a capital O and then lowercase N-E, not how One does it, all capitalized. It was called One World Together. It was all these like American singers, and it was presented by like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Stephen Colbert. And then One Championship. Chatry goes out and goes, ah, oh, we raised this much money hosting the One, and he capitalizes the One World. This is all brought together by One Championship. If One Championship was involved in this, I'm pretty sure Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and all those guys wouldn't be the guys doing it, and they would have One Championship fighters on it. There was no fighters on it. It was all these North American singers. It was brought by like Global Citizen, And if you look at the page, Global Citizen is like a small part of One Championship. Like, they help each other out. But One, Chachi took all the credit. He said all this money raised is by One Championship. So, like, they already get made fun of a lot for everything they do. Like, oh, this many people watch this card and whatnot. And, like, I feel like they just bring it on themselves by all these comments they do.
Yeah, no, I was definitely got the MMA media laughing there. Eddie Alvarez, he spoke to James, and he said that when he was a free agent a few years ago, he tried to get Michael Chandler to sign with him with the same promotion to do a trilogy fight. Michael re-signed with Bellator. Right now, actually, Michael, I think he's got one fight left with Bellator. He's supposed to fight Benson Henderson. Don't know when that fight's going to take place. After that, we'll see. I mean, he says he's considering the UFC, which I think would be cool. Although I think that maybe he's probably a few years too late, Cole, from his prime. But, yeah, I mean, this would have been cool. And, you know, it just kind of gets you thinking, like, what if fighters kind of collaborated more when they are free agents to get these big fights on their promotions? Like, just say Eddie and Michael talk. Because he said that Michael really didn't respond to him. But just say they were like, hey, you know what? Let's talk to One and see how much money we can get and try to make this fight happen. That'd be kind of cool, right? Do you think this is kind of like the evolution of free agency?
Yeah, definitely makes a lot of sense. Like, Alvarez was, I think, he only signed with One recently, and I still think he was ahead of his time with free agency. Yeah. You didn't see a lot of people testing free agency, and he was kind of that first big guy that said, every fighter should at least test it, see what your value's worth. And now you hear him talking about, like, all these other ideas, like, oh, my biggest rival is Michael Chandler. Let's try to get the trilogy. He's a free agent. I'm a free agent. Let's pitch this to promotions. Even if it's a one-fight deal, people are going to watch that trilogy, so it makes a lot of sense. I think it could happen a lot in the future if fighters are working together to get the biggest pay for both of them and the biggest fight for the promotions.
Yeah, glad with you on that one. And last thing I got here, Wanderlei Silva wants to fight bare-knuckle fighting against either Dan Henderson or Vitor Belfort. Do you think it happens?
Henderson's retired. I don't think that ever happens. Vitor Belfort signed with One, so I doubt that happens, but I don't. It makes no sense.
Hendo's 49. He's turning 50 in August.
Yeah, when I talked to Hector Lombard for his bare knuckle debut, he called out Henderson too.
Bro, I know. Like, he looked so good in that fight. And to be honest, I thought he beat Bisping. I know a lot of people did. And he knocked Bisping down a couple times. If that fight wasn't in England, I think he would have won that fight goal. So it is kind of funny to think about, but man, it could happen. Like, I feel like Hendo's more likely, but I don't see either of these fights happening. I don't know if Wanderlei is going to fight him. He signed with bare knuckle last year, and he hasn't made his debut yet. Wanderlei, he's got to be old. He's got to be like 45. Let me take a look here. Wanderlei is 43. Actually, he's not as old as I thought, but this guy's been banned. He's been fighting Cole for 24 years. Like, geez, this guy's been fighting forever. And Vitor's been fighting even longer than him. Vitor's been fighting since 1996 as well. Okay, so 24 years as well. Obviously,
I feel like Vitor's been signed to One for like 2 years and just never got a fight.
I know, right? It's like, it's kind of crazy. I don't know, man. He hasn't fought since 2018. Yeah, I could see Vitor fighting for One this year, maybe later in the year, but he signed last March, Cole, so it's been over a year. No debut yet. Kind of weird. Anything else, Cole, that we missed that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we got everything.
Okay, cool. The only thing I want to talk about quickly is just quickly going over the UFC 249 card, Cole, really fast here. The perspective card. I mean, it's not official by any means. So basically, it's like a combination of all the cards that were supposed to take place last month. Mostly the same fights. There was one new fight added, which we'll talk about in 1 second here. But just going through the card, we got Gaethje Ferguson, Cole, main events, Cruz Cejudo, co-main. Spencer Nunes has been canceled. So you got Nagano, Rosenstruck, Kadri Stevens, Hardy DeCastro, Leonik Verdum, Esparza Watterson, Jacare Hall, Price, Luque, Mitchell Rosa, and then the new fight added is Pettis versus Cerrone 2. Overall, and it is missing that third title fight now, but overall, Cole, this is a pretty damn good card.
Yeah, this is if this stays together, this is a really good card. Like, this is a good way to resume the UFC.
Yeah.
The only worry I have with the UFC is I'm wondering if they just say, let's try to get the biggest fights possible when we return, and then what's the cards look like in 2 months when all the big names have fought? Yeah. So I hope the UFC doesn't continue to stack the cards and kind of spread out the wealth. But if this card stays, this is a sick card.
Yep, I'm with you on that one, man. All right, I think that's it. Plug your stuff, Cole. Let's get out of here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Twitter at ColeShell91. Everything always on my Twitter. BJPen. Been doing the Who Has Best Chance to Beat the Champion, those series. Talk to Felicia Spencer. That's up there. But Everything else I do is always on my Twitter.
Yeah, cool. I like how you've been getting creative. For me, you guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And like cool, I'm at bjpenn.com, mtheoddsbreaker.com, and mmarings.net. bjpenn.com, always doing the news. There is actually some news still happening in MMA, but obviously no fight announcements or anything like that, which is stuff I love writing about. But I've been doing like a top 10 submissions list, cool, top 5 submissions list of each block of 10 UFC fights. So we got the UFC 1 to 10 and then 11 to 20. It was pretty cool actually looking back. I've seen these fights, but it's been a while. So it was nice to go and look back and watch like Randy Couture's debut, you know, when he gets a minute submission, or, you know, T. Ortiz losing to Guy Mezger. Like, it's fun actually going back and looking at that stuff. So definitely check those articles out if you haven't. MMAoddsbreaker.com, just a podcast Monday and Friday right now. There is a new guy writing there called AJ's Bets, and he's doing prospect articles. So he's doing a good job keeping the site filled with content during a kind of a downtime right now. So go check his articles out and support the website, of course. And MMARings.net, I continue to do my matchmaking articles, just breaking down like 5 or 6 fights in each division that I'd like to see, regardless of what matchups are taking place right now. And that's about it. So yeah, I'll be back Monday for the next edition of the podcast. You know, hopefully get some official news about UFC Jacksonville next week. And that's about it. Cool. Thanks for tuning in and joining me, man. And everyone else, thanks for tuning in as well. Bye, guys.